Normally when I get on so early, it's usually because I've asked to do so because I've got a long message. But there was no memo to Andrew about that, so don't expect a long one, as far as I'm aware of. So could you please turn to Hebrews? In Hebrews chapter 4, that's where it'd be a good place to go. Save your turning there as we go on. I've been struggling with the rise and fall of Samuel. Nothing worked, so I had to go to something else. And so we'll be back there when I work it out. I think I worked it out last night, actually. It sort of came to me. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you that we have a place to come where we know we are like-minded, that we come to worship you because we love you. We accept that the Bible is the inspired word from you, and that is where we get, Lord, those words of life. We acknowledge that you know what's best for us. We acknowledge that, Lord, you want us to come on a regular basis to worship you so that we can be reminded of how great you are, so that we can be fed from your word, and Father, enjoy the company of fellow believers. And so we thank you for the night. Encourage us, I do pray. We ask that your word will have its perfect place in our life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to run a situation past you, and then I'm going to ask a question about it. And I'm using this story because it actually happened to me, or not to me, to a friend of mine a number of years ago, and I met him at a funeral just a couple of weeks ago. His name's Richard. And just say that you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you have a wife and a little child, little baby boy, and you're the leader of the youth group. And for something special, you organise an outing with the youth group, to go somewhere with an evening barbecue or afternoon barbecue, and your wife asks, can she come along for this special time? And you say yes, and you go off, you enjoy a great time with the youth group, have the barbecue, and then at the end of the day you tell your wife to go on ahead and you'll bring the bus with the youth group. On the way home, as you're driving along, you noticed up ahead there's been an accident and a truck has hit a car. As you get closer, you realize it's your car. And then as you pull up, you're faced with that grim discovery that your wife and son have been killed in an accident. You think, surely that doesn't happen to Christians? Well, it happens to Christians. I've known of that story for quite a long time, and that's, I don't know if I've ever told you, but that's why I always got a little bit jittery when Linda wanted to come to a special outing with the youth group when we had something. Just that thought. Now, if that happened to you, I'm sure it would be you'd be in a terrible state for a long time. A lot of sorrow, a lot of despair, I suspect some anger, some depression. All these things would come as a terrible time came, and you'd need a lot of help. You'd want some comfort, you'd need some advice, you need some wisdom, you need some support in recovering from that time. Now, if you're going through a time like that, just say two people come up to give you that help. One person has been through a similar thing. They've lost their wife and child in an accident. And they've gone through the ordeal and they've come out the other end and they still love God. And they are able to praise God and they continue to serve the Lord. While the other one, they love the Lord, but they've had a relatively happy life with no tragedy in their life. And so these are the two people that have come to offer you help. Question is, which one would you prefer to have help you? The one that's never been through something like that, or the one that's been through it and come out the other end? Well, I think I know the answer that all of you would want to have, and that is you'd want the person that has been through it and proven themselves. Because it's that person where you will know that they know exactly how you feel, They know what you're going through, and you know that the advice that they give has been proven because they've got through it. The other person, I'm sure they could have lots of help, be lots of help, but still they wouldn't know how you feel. Well, the blessing for each one of us as Christians is that regardless of the problems that we go through, we know and we can be sure that we have a Savior who knows exactly how we feel. He may be the Son of God. He may have angels worshipping Him in heaven. But He knows very well what it's like to suffer as a human being and as a person. And that's what we get told here in Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, we're told of many wonderful things about the Lord Jesus. How He is better than the prophets of old. How He is better than the angels. How He is better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. And He's a better high priest than what Aaron was. And He's better than everybody that people hold dear. But it also tells us that He is someone who knows exactly how we feel. And that's good to hear. Let's have a read of what we're told in Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, this is the joy that we have as believers, that our Savior not only can help us in our time of need because He's God Himself, but He knows how we feel. He's been through it. He can sympathize with the things that we are going through. And something that I often forget is that He had a body just like me. I forget that. I just think of Him in heaven, Jesus doing the miracles. I forget that He had a body just like me. How often do you realize that He had a body and He had to suffer just like you do as well? You know those times when you're sick and you just feel yuck inside or all over? He knows what that feels like. You know the times when you stay up really late and you're tired the next day and everything just seems five times harder? He knows what that feels like. Times you get a bit of dirt in your eye and it stings, or you stub your toe on something as you walk by. He knows what pain feels like in that regard. I often forget that Jesus was touched with the feelings of my infirmities. And it's good to note feelings. He does know how it feels to have a body that is not perfect and is decaying and has things that go wrong. It says that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You know, just say you had a tragedy like I explained at the beginning, and someone came along who had a similar circumstance, yet they are very bitter with God. And they've tried to commit suicide a number of times. And their outlook on life is terrible with just about everything. You know, would you really want their help? They know exactly how you feel, but would you really want to get advice from them? They didn't overcome their tragedy. Their tragedy overcame them. I wouldn't really want to be getting advice on how to deal with those things. Thankfully, though, we have a Savior who went through all the temptation, yet He went through it without sin. It says there in Hebrews that He has been tempted in all points like as we are. Have you ever stopped to think of what the temptations of Christ were? You know, often when you say, if I ask, how was Christ tempted? You go, well, I know how he was tempted. Satan came to him. Satan wanted him to turn stones into bread. Satan wanted him to jump from the temple and get the angels to catch him. And Satan wanted him to bow down and worship him. That's true. That was one time he was tempted by Satan. When Satan came and was having that personal attack from Satan. But that wasn't the only time he was tempted. That was just one out of thousands of times he was tested and tempted. Jesus went through all the everyday common tests that we go through as well. The little problems, the big problems, the little trials, the hard trials, the big and the small frustrations and the temptations of everyday life, because he had a body just like us. That's why he can say he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet he was without sin. We have a Saviour and King who knows how we feel. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 2, if you turn back there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, says, referring to Jesus, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them which are tempted. Now, what does it mean to succour? That's where the old King James can be a struggle for us. That means, that word simply means to relieve. He's able to help us. For he himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to relieve them who are tempted. Jesus not only is able to help us because he's all powerful, he knows how to comfort us because he knows exactly what it feels like when you're going through that time. Let's have a look at some of the examples just from the life of the Lord Jesus that we often go through, that it would be good for us to be reminded that he goes through as well. You know, I know that one of the biggest struggles for a lot of people that seem to stick with them throughout their life unless they deal with it properly, and that means that they get control of their thoughts like we looked at this morning, and they don't keep taking that bag off the conveyor belt all the time and dwelling on it, is those feelings of rejection. A lot of people are in a mess, even as adults, because they were rejected when they were younger. And, you know, there can be some deep-seated problems if you allow it. You know, if your father leaves you when you're young, or your mother leaves you when you're young, or you get rejected by both, and you don't have parents, and you have to live somewhere else, that can affect you. You can feel rejected in that way. Rejected in that your parents show favoritism to one and not you. At church, you can feel rejected when someone else gets to ask to do a job when you feel that maybe you are better at that job. With friends, a group of friends get invited to something, yet you don't get invited. There's all different degrees of rejection. And if we deal with it the wrong way, what happens is we get hurt because we feel rejected. That's a normal response. But then we can turn angry because of that rejection. And then if we continue to allow those thoughts of anger because we've been rejected to stay, then bitterness forms within our heart. And then it can even lead to revenge. And so from that simple feeling of being rejected, we can sin in various ways. These feelings are definitely real. I don't know one person who enjoys being rejected. I haven't come across one yet. Loving it. Everyone rejects me. No, we all want to be accepted. But do we allow it to cause us to sin? You know, what we can be sure of is when we go to Christ with these feelings, he knows exactly how we feel. Jesus know what it feels like, those feelings of rejection? Well, my word, he does. You know, we were told this is how it was going to happen. In Isaiah, it says that he was despised and rejected of men. And that's exactly what his whole life was. He was rejected by so many. In John 1:11, it says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so he came as the Messiah, and they rejected him as the Messiah. You know, when Pilate gave the crowd the opportunity to release Jesus or Barabbas, and they chose Barabbas the murderer after he had done so much for them, I tell you what, if he hadn't felt rejected until then, that day he must have felt rejected. He was rejected publicly by thousands of people. And what was his response? Well, he still loved them. He was willing to go all the way to the cross and be punished for these very ones who had rejected him. Even when he was at the peak of his rejection, he was willing to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus didn't sin when he was rejected. He forgave. And if you're feeling rejected by one person, by a group of people, some people in the past, well then when you go to the Lord, he's able to succor. He's able to comfort and give you advice. In fact, we can just look at how he responded and know how we should respond. That's only one of hundreds of ways. What about being betrayed? Have you ever felt betrayed by somebody? I think we all have felt betrayed by someone or many people throughout our life. Jesus knows exactly how that feels. We only have to look at Judas, the one closest to him, or one of the close ones to him, followed him, enjoyed so many things from him, and what did he do? He betrayed him for just some money. But those feelings of betrayal didn't start and end with Judas. That was just one out of many. You know, that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the crowd came and all the disciples fled, I suspect he felt rather betrayed. When he looked and he turned and he looked and saw and heard Peter say, "I don't know the man," that very night, he would have felt betrayed. He was rejected and betrayed. He knows how we feel. Now, thankfully, when our betrayal comes, it probably doesn't lead to our death. But there's no doubt there are some times we think we're friends with someone, then we feel betrayed by the actions or the things we hear of them and what maybe they have said of us in the past. We might think that we've been faithful to someone and we've been a blessing to someone, yet we find out that they don't like us at all. You know, the ways in which we can feel betrayed are limitless. Yet we're told that Jesus has suffered so he can help us when we suffer. What about falsely accused? I don't know anyone who likes having lies told about them. It's terrible to have someone say bad things when you know they're not right. It's terrible when someone says you're lying when you know you're not lying. Or they assume you have wrong motives for what you're doing when you know you don't have wrong motives. One thing I struggle with as a pastor is when I hear unsaved people say that pastors are always in it for the money. You know, that's a bit of a struggle. Blessing is Jesus knows what it's like to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. All throughout his ministry, he was falsely accused of things, accused of having a devil. How many times has someone said, "You got a devil"? Accused of being mad. Been accused of that lately? When he told people he was the Son of God, they said he was a liar. When he was put on trial, witness after witness came and told lies about him. He knows how frustrating it is to have lies told about you and falsely accused. He knows how unfair that feels. Yet it didn't cause him to sin. He didn't make up lies about others to fight back. He didn't lose his temper. Instead, we're told that he opened not his mouth plenty of times. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut when people are saying false things. Other times he tried to explain the truth. even if they wouldn't listen. And so when people tell lies about us, we can be sure we can go to a Saviour, a high priest, and be sure that he sympathises with us and knows exactly how we feel. You know, there are plenty of other things as well. Ever been let down by somebody? Well, he knows what that's like. Ever been laughed at by others? On the cross, we know that people passed him by and laughed him to scorn. Ever got tired because of the work of serving the Lord? We're told that he got tired. He needed a rest. You know, when we're really tired, when we're serving the Lord, and we know that we're not really that enthusiastic, he knows exactly how we feel in that way when we say, Lord, please help me. I'm trying to think of things that we may have that he's never had. I don't think he had chronic pain. I haven't seen anything in the Bible where Jesus was constantly in pain with something. But he does know what pain feels like. It says that he was marred more than any man. He definitely knows what the senses are like when pain or affliction is put upon the body. And so although he may not have had chronic pain, he can understand when we have pain. He knows what it's like to be humiliated. He knows what it's like to not be believed by brothers and sisters. And the list is only limited by my imagination. But he got sore eyes, he got tired, he got thirsty, he got hungry, he had aching feet, he felt the cold, he felt the heat, and all these things. And so when we're struggling with something, I would encourage you to look at the Lord and say, Lord, when did you go through this type of problem? And how did you respond? And then even if you can't find it, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling at this time. Will you please help me with that? And we have the blessing of knowing that we have a Saviour in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God, and I picture it like this. We go to him in prayer and he says to his father, oh, Father, I know exactly how they feel. Remember that time when I was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and he explained something? That's how I felt. I know exactly how they feel. And this is the best way to help them. See, we have that wonderful verse in verse 16 where it says there, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you got some needs at the moment? Struggling with something? Well, we have been beckoned to come boldly, that we may find mercy from our Saviour and find that grace, that is, that divine enabling to help in time of need. Where have you been going for your help when you feel betrayed, when you feel or people are accusing you of being a liar, or you feel tired, or you feel lonely, or you feel pain? Don't forget to go to Christ first. He's the only one who has promised that he knows how we feel and he will comfort us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to stop and acknowledge that we have a Saviour who went through everything beyond measure. And I pray that we would not forget that this week, that when we are in those times of maybe despair, discouragement, that we'll come before your throne, lay it bare before you and ask for you to comfort. Thank you that you have given us the Spirit of God that dwell within us to be that comforter and encourager. I pray that he will meet all our needs. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.